Greetings, Sleepy Salsa here on this Thursday, December 6th of 2012, and welcome to the 69th episode of the Last Bastille Podcast. This broadcast is kindly hosted over at radioforall.net. I should also take this opportunity to mention that the opening theme is Ashley Alicize's A Puzzling Predicament, and the outro will be Bose's King's Quest, both of them available pursuant to Creative Commons Attribution, specifically CC BY NC SA 3.0 unported. For more information on Creative Commons, visit them at creativecommons.org. For any other content that may not be of original authorship by yours truly, any such material is used under the sincere intention of fair use. If you wish to understand the nature of the situation we are all suffering under and what can be done about it, feel free to visit the Last Bastille blog, which is located over at The Last Bastille. Bastille is spelled B-A-S-T-I-L-L-E. TheLastBastille.wordpress.com. And for this episode, we will yet again be delving into a topic that would fall under dissident philosophy, that is the nitty-gritty of why good people oppose the establishment. And I'll be reading for you today not just one, but two articles of mine. And we'll start off first with one that was published on the blog on August 13th earlier this year, entitled Carnival of Distractions. Seeing through the fog is easier said than done. While the alternative media has done a Herculean job of highlighting phenomenon that would never have seen the light of day, not everything that comes down the pike is accurate. Conjecture and speculation color the raw data to such a degree that any real objective analysis is hampered by those who screech their unfounded beliefs the loudest. The result of such malfeasance emanating from the dregs of the alternative media is the carnival of distractions. Misinformation and disinformation are two different sides of the same coin. Both involve the dissemination of false information, although the intentions are dissimilar. The former is characterized by being unintentional and thus typical of useful idiots, whereas the latter is deliberate, thereby being evocative of controlled opposition. Unfortunately, this is not limited to the globalized media alone. Consider for a moment the flame-throwing tank at Waco. Linda Thompson's Waco the Big Lie documentary claimed that there was one used against the Branch Davidians. It took fact-checking and some Vietnam veterans to determine that since there was no black carbonic smoke or dripping naphtha, the probability of that tank using a flamethrower was nil. Even that combined with other holes in the story did not immediately break the back of what quickly became part of Patriot mythology, since such a claim was sexy enough to sensationalize what was already a dramatic tragedy. I ask you, to what purpose would such a tall tale serve? It breaks my heart to see well-intentioned dissidents trying to articulate exactly what their grievances are and failing miserably. Public schools aren't exactly a bastion of intellectual freedom, so it's not as if those government agents erroneously referred to as teachers would educate the hapless children in something as basic as differentiating between cogent and fallacious reasoning, much less anything on the order of decoding statist propaganda. When some of those former public school students grow up to be political dissidents, it's not surprising that they have significant hardship discerning between hasty conclusions and deductively valid arguments. I find it disconcerting that with the plethora of very real problems to be dealt with, most dissidents seem more than happy to just whine, bitch, and complain about potential problems instead of trying to tackle the ones that continue to harm everyone. Though it is necessary to maintain foresight, no one should allow their anticipation of future troubles to cloud the importance of at least mitigating rampant corruption. As a fun litmus test, ask any ex-convict whether he is more worried about being sent back to prison or being rounded up to be placed into a FEMA camp. Accepting anything at face value because a patriot rock star said so is to completely surrender the responsibility that every individual possesses to evaluate objective reality on their own, on his own. Relying upon reason and evidence is the most important tool each one of us has in resisting the tyranny of illusion. Rationally determining for yourself what is and is not true is the key towards dismantling the carnival of distractions that currently inhabits the alternative media. It is imperative upon every single dissident to study and apply the principles of logic and rhetoric to their own various efforts. For without rational thought, their attempts to assist the mainline public, and even those within their own ranks, to see through the fog will be rendered null and void. And again, that was my article on the Carnival of Distractions. So let's move right into the next one, which was published earlier this year on July 25th, and it is entitled No More Messiahs. To paraphrase Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. It may just be that the Ron Paul love fest is coming to an end, considering Rand Paul's betrayal of his father, as well as Ron's deafening silence on the Romney endorsement, all the while trying to recruit delegates for the Republican National Convention in Tampa. I can't help but think I've been validated in triplicate, much to my own sadness. It was admittedly a wonderful dream, albeit one that never would have worked in accomplishing its goals, infiltrating the state and then turning it into a guardian of liberty is essentially impossible. If it were, it would have been possible to infiltrate the mafia and turn it into the United Way. Seeing that the good doctor is not seeking re-election to his congressional seat, I sincerely wish him well and bid him adieu. Charles Dyer, the July 4 patriot, was found guilty of child molestation on April 19th. Besides the coincidence of that happening on Patriots Day, I find it quite revealing that Dyer's liberty of due process was thoroughly and repeatedly violated, regardless of anyone's unsubstantiated opinion about the character of the former Marine sergeant. If the accusations against him were so airtight, then it wouldn't be a problem for the prosecution to abide by due process and nail his ass to the wall, which didn't happen. What occurred instead was a total carnival of botched evidence, a libelous mainstream media, and a grossly overblown manhunt. Unfortunately, his life is permanently wrecked. If he isn't killed in prison, he will surely have a devil of a time getting work and paying his parents back, who sacrificed their life savings in order to secure legal counsel for their son. The man couldn't even save himself, much less anyone else, and since it is impossible for him to either be exonerated by appeal or be sprung from prison and extradited to the safety of a foreign country, there is literally no way for anyone to save this messianic figurehead from crucifixion. Schaefer Cox always had ideas for how to secure our liberties. He even gave a speech in Montana that came to be known as The Solution. The five parts of The Solution were these. Number one, sign the Declaration. Number two, establish a country system. Number three, set up a local common law court. Number four, form local militia units. And number five, discover your leaders. If you compare Cox's solution with the plan for the restoration of constitutional government, there is no contest which is the superior. But, for pure curiosity's sake, let's test Cox's suggestions on their own merit. The Letter of Declaration, as a title, is purely redundant. It also suffers from being single issue instead of being more comprehensive, such as the Under One Banner petition, or the Declaration of Dissolution of Government. Caltry systems like the Alaskan Liberty Bell Network, the New Hampshire Porcupine 411, or the Texan Lone Star Smart all suffer from similar problems, one of which is that they are wide open to disinformation operations since there There is no internal security procedures or even a simple verification method that can discern the nature of individual voicemails before they are distributed to all the subscribers. A brick-and-mortar common law court, or CLC, is a bit premature, since even most political dissidents still assume that the term courts only refers to the government carnival sideshows that pass for some sort of arbitration proceedings. Militia units are in the same boat as a CLC, especially considering that both require a Committee of Safety, COS, to be established first, which brings me to discover your leaders. Even though Cox danced around it, when he referred to a executive body, he was essentially describing a COS in all but name, just to add to the confusion. Cox was convicted of conspiracy to murder federal law enforcement officers and a slew of other weapons-related charges nearly 2 months to the day after Dyer's conviction. Despite his best attentions and various public appearances, such as being a supposed delegate to the abomination that was the so-called Continental Congress 09, where have all his supporters gone? Where is his couple thousand some odd militia members? And probably most importantly, have any local CLCs been established thanks to Cox? In the absence of proof suggesting otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and just venture a no. I think it should be made absolutely crystal clear that a messiah is not the same as a patriot rock star. Unlike a messiah, rock stars just want to whine, bitch, and complain about a problem while looking cool doing it. A messiah, by contrast, genuinely wants to solve problems, but his proposed solutions necessarily require his constant personal intervention, thereby engendering a cult of personality. Messiahs should also not be confused with certain specialists in various endeavors. The key difference here is that the specialist trains others who then implement the respective plan and/or solutions, whereas the messiah's plan or solution necessitates his incessant involvement. It could also be said that an undying publicly displayed affection for some specialists could make them look like messiahs, so be wary of both the easily swayed and those wannabe rock stars who spend all their time propping up one individual, acting as if that person is going to save us all. So what now? Reviewing the individual tales of such messianic figureheads like Ron Paul, Charles Dyer, and Schaefer Cox, I think it is clear to see that no one daddy figure is going to arrive on his white horse and do all the work of securing our liberties. Methods need to be measured by their effectiveness, and plans need to be formulated and put into action. It is absolutely pitiful that this isn't done more, either in close-knit local groups or through alternative media outlets. Those who desire some strategy that either involves methods that don't work, or a Christ archetype, are simply avoiding the responsibility necessary for self-liberation. Such cowardliness deserves to be ridiculed and ostracized from the ranks of the realistic and the brave. Participating in the carnival of distractions for its own sake, all the while claiming to be fighting for freedom, is in some ways crueler than being controlled opposition, for it demonstrates a type of mental insanity that is very difficult to overcome. If we are to move the cause for liberty forward, let us all refuse to be suckered by the promises of all these messiahs. And again, that was my article entitled No More Messiahs. And now for a postscript. You know, it's one thing if you realize that the mainstream media is an oligopoly, a type of cartel, and they're basically probably the primary mouthpiece of the establishment. And then you and your friends and other assorted pissed off people go start forming your own media, and then this is colloquially referred to as the alternative media. And, you know, that's perfectly fine. However, there's this assumption that the alternative media can do no wrong. And that's just not it's just not realistic. It's very similar to this assumption that the free market can do no wrong. But the alternative media and the free market, and a lot of times they do intersect and are the same thing at some levels, is that they are they're just descriptors for a type of activity of a collective aggregate of individuals. And those individuals are fallibly human, much like myself, much like how you are, much like how everyone is. Last time I checked, there were no infallible humans. So taking that into account, there are going to be weaknesses just by default, without counting for anything specifically. And just like how the free market can be perverted by such mechanisms, and I would say probably the worst one right now is corporatism, you know, i.e. Black Friday, I would similarly say that the alternative media can also be perverted, at least in some instances. I mean, the free market can still exist outside of corporatism, and same thing, the real, true alternative media can exist outside the carnival of distractions, but it's a cancer on it. So corporatism kind of feeds on the productive energies of the free market. Similarly, the carnival of distractions feeds on the true ability, especially journalistic, but not limited to that, ability of the alternative media. And it is. I mean, how many times have any of us seen in a chat room, a discussion thread, or live internet radio stream slash podcasting type thing, where the discussion will at some point get diverted off into things like Nibiru, the Anunnaki, the lizard people, reptilians, or whatever. It's what do any of those topics have anything to do with securing our liberties? What does ancient astronauts have anything to do with central banking? You see, the one thing you can actually directly perceive and understand, and to some degree, even if it's very limited, affect. So the tyrannical government we're under, they established central banking and they try to ruin the currency and steal our labor through that. Well then you can kind of resist that, at least in some degrees, with, you know, forming your own local alternative currencies and, you know, or, you know, local paper currencies or cryptocurrencies or bartering, whatever, at least as initial steps. But I find it very revealing that at the same time there's a kind of a given equal weight, a guilt by association, if you will, between the real problems you can pretty much, you know, see, touch, taste, smell, etc., and the ones you can't. You know, you can't really perceive Nibiru crashing into the earth or whatever version of it it happens to be this week. And not only that, but a lot of, or the 2012 apocalypse, which is supposedly going to be happening later this month. You know, and here's the thing, even if those things were correct and there's nothing we can do about it and it's going to be the end of the world, or I think would be much more likely if there was something to happen, it would be more like Teowaki, the end of the world as we know it. If a lot of these disaster movies that have been hyping the 2012, you know, thing, I mean, even there was even a movie that came out a little while back called 2012. And there's going to be tectonic shifts and people are going to die and all this fear-mongering. And the stuff that Hollywood was putting out. And, you know, just looking at those various predictive programming elements, I mean, they're trying to freak people out and make them feel that, you know, whatever happens surrounding December 21st of 2012 is going to be evil or whatever. And it doesn't matter how many times it's debunked completely by different people, not just the guys over at Disinformation, but like other types of, like, the serious, dare shall I say, boring, meaning non-sensationalistic, citizen journalists and other types of folks like that, actually separating, as Mark Dice would like to say, the facts from the fiction. So notice also what I'm kind of also pointing out here as well, is that the Carnival of Distractions very much likes to focus on matters that are sensationalistic, like something that is almost as if something that comes out of a Hollywood movie, but quote unquote, it's real. Yeah, it's about as real as a $2 bill, which is to say, not at all. But yeah, the carnival is what it is, and I'm just going to call it what it is. It's a cancer. It's absolutely a cancer on the alternative media, and it has to be cut out. They have to be ostracized. They have to be defunded, much like how part of the overall, you know, any sort of, you know, resistance to tyranny must involve, you know, replacing and then defunding government services. I would say similarly, defund these so-called independent or alternative media organizations, websites, or others that don't really do the journalistic stuff or the real research, or they may do a portion of it some of the time, just enough to hook you in, but then what they really emphasize is all the sensationalistic garbage. And it's usually, and that's the other thing, the sensationalistic garbage are usually things that you can't actually affect. You can't go find a member of the Anunnaki and punch, you know, and go break his nose, for example. You know, the reptilians, as David Icke would say, they're invisible, literally. They're outside the range of visible light. But how you defeat them is you don't be fearful. Oh, that's so, that, geez, at that rate, a reptilian sounds just like an angel or a demon or devil, doesn't it? These mythological creatures that kind of float around. Well, hell, at that rate, damn it, the Olympian gods are real. All hail Zeus. I mean, at that point. I mean, really, if we're going to compare mythological creatures, let's treat them all as equally fair. I mean, I would love to see a showdown between Ares and some random, you know, British reptilian. Maybe Queen Elizabeth II, I don't know. But that's just it, isn't it? It's like something that's been ripped out of a sci-fi novel, and there's been a lot of confusion. Not only that, but if you look at certain types of movies, especially from the 70s and 80s, there were certain predictive programming elements that actually suggested that there were these kind of reptilian-looking aliens that shapeshifted and made themselves look human. I believe one series was called V for Visitors. So it's it is what it is. So all these different distractions, here's the other thing too. Anything that pops up in the alternative media that has a kind of new agey feel to it, a new age thing like love is the only truth and everything else is an illusion, or whatever. That's not really. What does that have anything to do with dealing with a police state? What does that have anything to do with imperialistic wars of aggression or central banking or any of this other incredibly serious stuff we're dealing with? And I just can't seem to find a straight answer about that, which kind of really does beg the question. So then it comes down to motive, doesn't it? What exactly is the motive behind the carnival? And from what I can tell so far, part of it is self-aggrandizement, which of course is a source for infighting. Part of it is con men, guys who are willing to scam people out of their money. You know, buy my books, buy my T-shirt, buy my fancy gizmo whacked out device that doesn't actually do what it's supposed to. Kind of like, you know, buy my water filters that I claim filter out fluoride, but then when you actually look at the technical details, it doesn't actually filter out the fluoride. And then I yell at you on my, you know, radio show that fluoride is, you know, eating holes in your brain. But the thing I sold you doesn't even filter out fluoride, so, and it costs like $150 or something. So you kind of beg the question, what's the motive there? And that's really what it comes down to. There's some other agenda going on, and I'm not saying it's that of the establishment. I'm not saying that at all. Although there's very much that that in a lot of cases, sometimes that is. I mean, sometimes you will be dealing with controlled opposition, absolutely. But also consider the useful idiots as well. And tying this in with the other article, because they really do go hand in hand, you know, Patriot rock stars can either be controlled opposition or useful idiots. Messiahs usually tend to be useful idiots. I haven't found one yet that's provably controlled opposition, but that's so far what the trend suggests to me. But yeah, the rock stars, more often than the messiahs, are usually controlled opposition. They're the ones yelling and screaming and getting all angry and red-faced like every 5 minutes. They rattle off stuff to you fast like a machine gun with this horrible thing and that horrible thing, and you just get overloaded and you can't even process it. Next thing you know, you're quivering under your, you know, your dining room table, quaking in fear. And so the rock star is not taking into account how to present the data in such a way where you can intellectually, in a calm manner, actually look at it and try and rationally determine what's actually going on. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it can be fine to get upset on occasion. I sure have in earlier podcasts. But generally speaking, it's a bit cartoony to do that like every 10, 15 minutes or to do it every day or every week. Usually normal people only get upset when it's actually something that really gets under their skin. Some people, it's, you know, a child getting abducted or molested by big fat government pedophiles. Other times, it's the currency being debauched. Other times, it's a stereotypical, you know, police brutality type thing. You know, everybody's got their own little stick in their side, up their craw, so to speak. So that's pretty much what's going on there. And, you know, don't get me wrong, sometimes the rock stars can do some good things, but then the problem becomes, you know, the cost versus the benefits. I mean, do you really want to be swamped with all their kind of, you know, whatever, their muck, just to get at those few good gold nuggets? And that's just something that you on an individual basis are going to have to decide. But yeah, that's the other problem too, is that even if the rock stars weren't useful idiots necessarily, there's still another problem on top of it. I didn't address this in either of the articles, I just thought of it now. But they focus way too much on news and analysis. They're way too focused on what the establishment is doing this week instead of what they should be doing, which is training our people as much as possible. There's really only one individual I can think of who even came close to doing that, and what he usually did was he would do some of that stuff too, but then he would kind of start recommending, like, in certain situations, you know, you move your men this way and that way. You know, with certain gear selection, you buy this type of carbine, not this other one made in, you know, some former, you know, Eastern European commie bloc. Or you use 5-gallon buckets as type of a movable garden of sorts. You know, stuff like that. I take that back. Two individuals I can think of. But they've been kind of relegated kind of off to the side. And, you know, they're not sexy because, at least by most of the alternative media and by extension all of the carnival, because they're talking about fairly normal terrestrial things. Even when they do talk about combat, it's weird. It's like I've noticed other people thinking like it's not sexy, like, oh, yawn, 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 you know, cover, the difference between cover and concealment. I don't understand. I mean, that's about as exciting as it can get, other than some, you know, death-defying stunt like doing a halo jump or something. But I don't know. It seems like a lot of the consumers, and that's what they are, consumers, of the carnival's material are just simply, you know, I hate to say this, but it's almost as if they're like these middle-class bored white people who just have these empty lives in their suburbs, and so they get on the internet and trying to stimulate themselves so they try and feel alive. But then what's worse is then when you have the people doing the real work, both online and offline, obviously, and then they try to have some help, at least with some of the online stuff, or at least in a supportive mechanism, if not something unto itself, those folks who are basically just adrenalists, you know, pseudo-adrenaline junkies, or pseudo-adrenaline news junkies, just, when you ask them to do something fairly kind of boring in a lot of ways, you know, go find this article, go grab this book, go find this article, go grab this piece of audio, go find this fairly obscure video that's like this hour-long boring lecture, but actually is fundamentally important. And they just won't fucking do it because they want to play. They don't want to work. And securing your liberties is work. It is. And so that's a blight on the alternative media. That it really is. Now, yeah, you can have fun while you're working, of course, just like you would with any really good job. But the problem is that there's been so much of an emphasis placed on fun and what's been known as like internet drama, quote unquote. What that really means is they're talking about infighting, internal balkanization. That's what that is. And like everyone likes to focus on that, or so-and-so's having a feud over here. And even worse, when you do have a batch of folks who create an organization to try and at least mitigate that, a lot of people say, oh, it's boring. I don't want to actually sift through the data. So it's always half-hearted. It's never sincere. And even of the extremely few people that are left, which I would say comprise the real alternative media, who are left, there's so few of them left, and they have other, you know, duties and, you know, responsibilities outside of their, you know, offline, obviously, that they, most of them can't even dedicate themselves to doing the right thing, just because it would take so much time, or they would need a lot of time to do it, let's put it that way. So that's pretty much what it's come to. And so, look, the alternative media, like the free market, can be built back up. But the excesses, the I don't want to say vices, but those inherently bad traits that characterize corporatism, because I'm making parallel analogies here, that characterize both corporatism and the carnival of distractions need to be rooted out. They are a cancer. They are killing the host. So the carnival of distractions needs to be destroyed. And one of the best ways of at least starting on the process is kind of making the point that what is the relevance of Nibiru to what needs to be done, and then of course ostracism, and if methods need to be refined as far as dealing with the carnival, you know, as things go forward in time, then of course that'll be needed, because it's always a self-correcting mechanism, just like how the free market actually is. But it doesn't happen automatically. You have to do it. You and me comprise the free market, the alternative media, any of these other sort of collective aggregate descriptors. But it requires work. It requires the exercise of free will to choose and then act upon a choice to self-correct. And I find it interesting that the very same people who will tout the benefits of the free market and genuinely mean so and know about corporatism and all this, there's no confusion there, at the same time will completely play into the carnival. But they don't ever want to self-correct within the alternative media. I find that incredibly revealing to such a degree. It's almost, it's really shameful. That's what it is. It's shameful and it's irresponsible to one of the highest degrees. And I'm not saying that certain types of subjects can never be mentioned in the alternative media. You know, if somebody wants to, you know, if somebody wants to look into, you know, the paranormal, or wants to deal with basically sideshow freak type topics, that's, you know, they should be at liberty to do so. However, what I'm stressing is that they should not be using guilt by association or whatever, or version on a theme of that, to then associate that with the real terrestrial perceivable things, especially in the political sphere, although not limited to that. I think it's the confusion of the two. It's the confusion with a fiction with reality. That's the problem. And you see, the mainstream corporate whore, Madison Avenue social engineers do that all the time. So it kind of begs the question, why would people who claim to be against the establishment be doing it on their end, albeit in a different way with different topics? You know, Planet X. What the hell does that have to do with anything? You know, what the hell does that have to do with food storage because of a socioeconomic collapse or a possible one? Or what have you. You see, it just doesn't add up. And really what I think at the end of the day is that the audience, most of them anyway, they don't know how to think. They have no real type of discernment at all. And those that do really understand this, but even when they try to talk to other folks who don't and try and say, hey, why don't you focus on this, this, and this, or any of the selection of these other real, tangible things, instead of on this sci-fi bullshit that goes nowhere. And especially also, there's the additional thing of it renders you powerless. It also plays into the victim mentality, too. Again, Planet X is going to crash into the planet. Well, obviously, you can't stop Planet X, ergo, oh, I'm a victim. It plays into the victim mentality. That's the other reason why the Carnival Distraction is so dangerous, is because it, in ways very similar to the welfare state, it completely robs you of your power, of your own natural individual power you have over your own life. Oh, I'm such a victim. All this kind of, you know, that kind of jive, if you will. So that's what needs to be done. The Carnival of Distractions, much like corporatism in general, it needs to be destroyed. It needs to be eradicated, annihilated. Insert your favorite synonym here. That's what needs to happen. It needs to be pointed out and then ostracized. And I'm not saying just do go do this recklessly, but I mean, just be careful. But I'm just saying, I just gave some examples of things that are. You know, you can't go fight the shape-shifting, invisible reptilian. You can't go and break his nose. You can go and break a cop's nose. Because and I say that in a existential sense, because the cop is real. He's a human being. He's a human being in a blue costume who's pretty severely delusional. And but he's standing right there. You know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no multiple dimensions or anything like that. And quite frankly, even if a lot of that kind of scientific or, dare shall I say, pseudoscientific phenomena did turn out to be true, it's kind of a moot point anyway for the very simple reason that... what does that have anything to do with the overall situation we're suffering under? Which is tyranny. What does that have anything to do? It's kind of like saying, well, I want to eat some hamburger and fries, and then somebody mentions about, oh, did you see a unicorn? Do you see that unicorn running by? It's like, what does the unicorn running by have anything to do with the fact I want hamburgers and french fries? And so we have that kind of confusion, the conflagration, the intermixing of fact and fiction. So I hope you all understand that the Carnival of Distractions is not to be underestimated, and also realize it's also kind of a self-emanating weakness from the alternative media that the establishment likes to capitalize on, but they don't come in writing as themselves, they come in writing as others. And also keep in mind, too, there's also the useful idiot aspect of it as well. Just people who just don't know how to think. They don't work for the bad guys. They don't know how all this shit hangs together. And even for some of those who kind of do, you know, they have no interpersonal diplomatic skills at all. Next thing you know, a lot of people are infighting over something stupid that's not even relevant. And then nothing happens. A lot of time and energy is wasted, and then less and less people want to get involved in the alternative media. Kind of, it is what it is, and also does kind of beg the question, why? That's all I have to say about that for the moment. For next episode, we will begin examining dissident methodology by taking a look at the alternative media itself. I'm Sleepy Salsa, and thanks for listening.